Now, if you'll please direct your attention to the scoreboard for a message from Buffalo Bills Hall of Fame owner, Ralph C. Wilson, Jr.
I regret that I cannot be with you today, but it is an honor to introduce Phil Hansen, whose name will be inscribed on the Buffalo Bills Wall of Fame. When the nominations came in for whose name should go up, the committee that does the selection was unanimous in naming Phil. He was a hard, dedicated worker, both on the field and in the community. He was a great defensive lineman, one of the best I've ever seen. He appeared in 156 straight games for the Bills and did a terrific job. I hope that you will all appreciate and salute one of the best players the Bills have ever had.
Wow. It gave me goosebumps. It's got to give Phil Hansen goosebumps. He joins us now here on 790 KFGO. You know he played his college years right here, born in Oaks, North Dakota, and played for NDSU, still holding records there, and joins us now to reminisce about what was a wonderful, wonderful man in Ralph Wilson. Hey, thanks for joining us today, Phil.
Yeah, you bet. Good to be here.
So, tell us how you felt hearing his voice introducing you in Buffalo.
Well, you know what? I went on the Wall of Fame in 2011, I think it was. I mean, he was 92 at that point. So, I mean, Ralph Wilson lived to 95. He lived a really good life, and there's a lot to celebrate in his life, a lot of accomplishments. And more than that, I think, you know, we did a lot of interviews with the media back in Buffalo, and I think just a recurring theme was that family. I mean, he really tried to make it kind of a family-orientated thing. When he'd come in the locker room, he'd shake your hand after a win or something, but he'd always kind of probe a little bit more and you know, oh, you went to North Dakota State, huh? That's up in Fargo. And he'd ask a question, and then six games later, or a year later, he'd remember something from that conversation. I mean, I think he was he was a great owner. I mean, I don't have anything to compare him to. Because I didn't play for any other team, but what a tremendous guy! I felt it was a privilege to play under him and for his team, and just really want to celebrate his accomplishments and his life.
Well, and his accomplishments go beyond Buffalo Bills as well. I mean, he was really at the forefront of developing the American Football League, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was part of the Foolish Group, they called them back
right.
then, they developed this. AFL, and which eventually became the NFL, and there's a lot of history there. And but he took a stand, bought the team for $25,000. It's quite an investment back in 1960, whatever.
I know that they honored him at Ralph Wilson Stadium, and one light remained on in the stadium to salute Ralph Wilson just a couple of nights ago. And so, did he hire you?
Well, you know, I don't know if he was actually part of the negotiations. I mean, Bill Polian was the guy who drafted me along with the coaches, Marv Levy and that group at that time. But, you know, Ralph was a guy that didn't just... you know, he was involved in everything. I'm sure he knew my name before they called it on ESPN and said, we're going to take Phil Hansen with the second round draft pick. I'm sure he knew it and approved it.
Ralph Wilson has died at the age of 95. I read a quote from Steve Tasker, who was a former Buffalo Bills receiver turned broadcaster, much like you. And he said, for those of us that played for him and knew him, we were hoping this day would never come. And he lived to be 95 years old.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a good life. It just sent me back to memories of Ralph Wilson. You know, at training camp, he would go up in one of those lifts, you know, those scissors lifts that go way up high in the sky and kind of overlook the practice. Well, the video guy had to go up in that every day. And he would go up there with him and, like, overlook what was all going on with training camp. And, I mean, just that memory of that just flashed right back into my head. And, you know, he really cared. I really believe he did about his players. And, you know, obviously the thing that eluded him and all of us in Buffalo was the Super Bowl, but hopefully that is eventually
right.
still to come.
Let's talk about the latest Jim Kelly news. You know, I've always been fond of him. I've always thought he was one of the classiest guys in the NFL. And it appears now his cancer has returned, and it looks like surgery is not in his future. It's become more complicated than that. Can you talk a little bit about your friendship with him?
Yeah, you know, I played with Jim. I was on the same team with Jim for, I think, 7 seasons. And then he retired from 91 through 97. So, I mean, just a great leader, a class act, just a tough, a really tough, gritty guy. Had 6 brothers. So you can imagine what that household was like growing up. I mean, I'm sure they beat the tar out of each other, but just, he's the guy that you'd want on your team. And I'll never forget one of my first games with Jim. I remember, you know, they had been to a Super Bowl. We were going to go to a Super Bowl that year again. And Jim Kelly threw an interception, and defensive lineman intercepted the ball, and he was running it back. And all the receivers and linemen were jumping on top of this big defensive lineman. And he finally went down, and they were unpiling the people. I think there were about 20 people in the pile of blockers and tacklers. And the last person that got up from that pile was Jim Kelly. And I remember thinking in my rookie year, that's the kind of teammate I want. That's the team I want to be on.
Wow.
You know, a guy who isn't too good to make a tackle just because he's the quarterback, you know. but just, yeah, I would really, you know, I talked to him last fall. I remember on ESPN Game Day, when ESPN Game Day came to town, he called and asked how he was doing. And, you know, he was kind of on the road to recovery from that first surgery. But yeah, this is certainly a setback, but, you know, I'm sure he'll take that on with as much vigor as he did any football game.
Indeed. Well, and heartache, it's not the first time that family has dealt with it. And I remember following Hunter, his young son, who did pass away in 2005. And so he's had a lot of challenges, he and his beautiful family, haven't they?
Yeah, sure have. You know, Hunter, you know, but he's done a lot of good with the adversity he's had. He started, you know, Hunter's Hope, which is a charity, and they've got screenings passed for over 150 of these leukodystrophies that may occur in children, like birth defects. So he's done a lot of work with that throughout all the states. And, you know, he also, he has Kelly for Kids Foundation. He raises over $250,000 every year through his golf tournament, which I attend. He's done that for 28 years, I think. So he's done a ton of tremendous things in the community and in the Western New York area. So he's certainly a giver, given a ton back. So I know everybody, and you know, his life's always been on the front of the sports page or the headlines. So everybody has a personal interest in this story with him, and we just want to see him through it. And, you know, everybody wants to help any way they can.
I know. Can you share a quick story about Jim Kelly with us? I imagine you've got a few.
You know, I guess the first one would be, you know, the one I just told you about, just the toughness and grittiness of him. You know, one thing about the Kelly family, this is the kind of story that I'll share with you. Jim Kelly was famous for having parties after his games. All the players get together and we just celebrate. And he'd invite a lot of just people around town to his house. His basement was like, you know, it had a dance floor and everything in it. So it was kind of like, it was really cool to go there after games and just celebrate the victory. And I didn't go for like the first, this was only after home games, but I didn't go for like the first 2 home games. And he came up to me in the middle of the locker room. I'm a rookie, you know, and I barely had any conversation with Jim other than just to say hi. And he said, Hanson, come here. Why weren't you at my party? You've missed 2 of them now. And I said, well, the sheepish guy from North Dakota said, well, I didn't know I was invited. He said, listen, from this day forth, consider you're invited to anything I do unless I tell you you're not.
Oh, so, man.
That's just kind of guy Jim is. Just bigger than life when he enters a room.
Well, thank you so much for sharing those memories today. Phil Hanson, our guest on KFGO. Our best to you, Phil. Thank you so much.
You bet, guys. Have a good day.